last week, we heard the story about Martha and Mary. Martha, who had invited Jesus and his disciples to be guests in her home. Martha, who was working hard to make sure that everything was just perfect and becoming very stressed out in the process, especially when she watched her sister Mary doing nothing but just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words. I mentioned last week about how we all need our Mary time. Those times when we can set aside our work, when we can sit at the feet of Jesus, hear his word, be nourished by his presence, be fed with his body and blood. These worship services that we come to where we can have our Mary time so that we can be strengthened, so that we can go out and do our Martha work in the world, serving God by serving others without being burned out through our service, being constantly refreshed and renewed by the Lord. That healthy congregations, healthy Christians, need to live a balanced life of prayer and service, of listening and doing. And Jesus himself lived his life in this way. Jesus was utterly devoted to his mission of preaching and teaching and healing. He was out there tirelessly, day after day, serving his heavenly Father. And yet Jesus would regularly leave his work behind. He would leave the crowds, even leave his disciples, and spend hours alone with his heavenly Father in prayer. And then he would return with fresh power to continue his work. And I believe his disciples could see the difference that these times of prayer made in his life. And I believe that may have been why they said, Lord, teach us how to do that. Teach us how to pray in this way so that we can receive the kind of power that you receive from your prayer. And I imagine the disciples were probably expecting some deeply spiritual, mystical teaching on prayer at this point. But what they got was just a very short and simple prayer to pray. Even simpler and shorter than the longer version of the Lord's Prayer that we pray every Sunday and most of us every day. And in this model prayer that Jesus gives to his disciples in these verses of Luke, the most important word in Jesus' prayer is the first word. I believe it's probably the first word Jesus spoke in his own prayers. Father. Father. Prayer is not a long-distance communication with some distant deity off at the edge of the universe. But rather it is a loving conversation between a child and a loving father. When Jesus prayed, he called God Abba in his own native language. Abba, Father. A word that evokes a relationship of closeness, of love, and of trust. The amazing thing that the very same God whom Jesus called Father, we also can call Father. With that same expectation, that same marvelous close relationship that Jesus enjoyed with his heavenly Father, we too can enjoy. And so in the life of prayer, it's not so much the particular words that we may pray, but it's the relationship that lies underneath. That relationship with a loving heavenly Father that encloses all of our prayers. And to come to God in prayer in this way means approaching God as Jesus did, as God's humble, obedient, loving children, prepared to do our Father's will no matter what the cost. And so therefore prayer is not our coming to God with our laundry list of things that we want God to do for us, but rather prayer begins when we approach God humbly as our loving Father and ask first of all for God's name to be kept holy, for God's kingdom to come. Our goal in prayer is not to get what we want, but for God to get what he wants in us and through us. In our first story from today, the story of Abraham, who approaches God, comes near to God to intercede for the wicked sinners of the city of Sodom. Abraham, who takes it upon himself to speak to the Almighty God and even to question God. Is it right for you to sweep away this whole city, even if there may still be a few good people left in it? Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? This boldness that Abraham enjoyed came from his relationship with God, a relationship that was based upon the fact that God had called him, that God had said, I will make you a blessing to all nations. And in interceding for the city of Sodom, Abraham was fulfilling the calling that God himself had given to him. In much the same way that Jesus also interceded not just for one city, but for a whole world of sinners, carrying out his mission on the cross, praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so not 10 righteous persons, but one righteous man on the cross was enough to save the world from sin. And in his prayer to his disciples, Jesus teaches us to do the same, to live lives of forgiveness. Indeed, Jesus encourages us in the story of the friend at midnight to go to God boldly and confidently, asking, seeking, knocking at that door until it opens. But doing so as God's humble, obedient children, trusting that our Father already knows what is best for us, trusting that God will never fail to give us everything we need and more. And what should we be asking for and searching for above all else? Well, Jesus also tells us the Holy Spirit. God's greatest and most perfect gift is the gift of God himself, coming to live in our hearts and in our lives, living and working within us. In fact, when God gives us the Holy Spirit, in the gift of the Spirit, God answers all of our prayers. It is through the Holy Spirit that the Lord's Prayer comes to life. It is through the Holy Spirit working in us that God's name is kept holy. It is through the power of the Spirit working in us that God comes into our hearts to establish his kingdom, his rule in our lives, and eventually to establish his kingdom in all the world. It is through the Spirit of God present in us that God feeds our deepest hunger and also empowers us to feed the hungry world with bread. It is through that Holy Spirit living in us that God cleanses us from our sin and frees us to forgive others in the same way. It is through the Holy Spirit living in us that God guides and directs our steps each day, keeping us from those situations that might tempt us, and also strengthening us when we find ourselves in the midst of that same temptation. It is the Holy Spirit living in us who protects us from all of the assaults of the evil one and guards our souls for his kingdom. It is the act of prayer that opens our conscious selves to the presence and the power of the Spirit within us, connecting us to that presence, to that power. Again, not so that we can use that power for our purposes, but so that the power of the Spirit can use us, can work through us to achieve God's purposes. So let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come anew, come afresh into our lives, into our hearts. Cleanse us and make us strong. Work through us, Lord, to achieve your purposes, and keep us always open to your never-failing love. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.